Hey guys, real quick before we jump into this next episode, I want to discuss something with you. I made a decision a couple of years ago not to bombard this podcast with tons of ads or just bombard you with sponsorship. Nothing would drive me more crazy when listening to other podcasts when the first 5 minutes were nothing but ads. So I worked hard not to do that to you. I try to keep the ads to a minimum and keep the podcast as streamlined as possible. So do me a favor. Go check out Phoenix Shooting Bags. Buy yourself a bag. Up your shooting game. You're going to thank me. And if you're not a rifle hunter, go buy yourself a glassing pad. Your butt is going to thank me after spending hours behind the glass. They're awesome. If you use promo code John Stallone, all one word, you'll save 20%. And lastly, please, I know you heard me say it, iTunes, Podbean, go leave us a review. I need the feedback. The ratings help me reach more people, and it helps me keep this free. So do me a favor, check out Phoenix Shooting Bags, and go leave us a review. Thank you. Let's roll into this next episode. Hi, welcome to Interviews with the Hunting Masters, brought to you by Phoenix Shooting Bags. Today, we are going to find out a little bit about what Matthews has got cooking up for this season. And we're going to talk a little bit to Mark Hayes. He's one of their engineers. And we're going to talk to him about setting up bows and you know, what he sees in the future maybe for Matthews and so on and so forth. So without further ado, how's it going, Mark?
Good, John. Thank you. How are you?
I'm good, man. Just stuffing 10 gallons of shit in a 5 gallon hat right now. I leave on Friday for South Dakota, and I'm just trying to button everything up with work and the guiding business with my pool company and then, of course, all my family stuff going on right now. So it's always tough this time of year.
Absolutely. Yeah, I know how that is. It's definitely around here the fall hits, and we always hit new product, obviously, this right. time of year. And then every one of us is trying to do hunts. And then again, like you said, with the family. So We know that feeling around here, too. It seems this industry is all about the same. So
I can never understand that. Why does the archery industry always release their stuff literally like the best day of the year to go hunting?
Well, a couple reasons. One of them's really just focus. Everyone's focused on archery right now. You know, no one's focused in May. So we really, to get the most eyeballs and to get to people that are thinking about it, it's this time of year. So that's one of the reasons. The other thing is, you know, the new model year starts January. So like we're coming out with 2020 right now, and really it's early because it's really the 2020 line. So that's kind of how that works. I know we get a lot of those questions. So
yeah, I always felt like August would be, you know, July or June, something like that. I mean, especially for the guys out west, because, you know, most of us are out hunting, you know, come August, we're chasing you know, muleys or whatever, and then elk season starts in September, and everybody's, you know, it's like,
yeah,
it'd be nice to have the new stuff for that year that you're going into. It's like you get your new stuff. I don't even set mine up until after the season's over, and I go to the end of January, and then it's like, okay, it's January now. It's like I don't even want to really mess with it anymore because I'm not going to be shooting anymore in several months. You know, so it's like never understand that.
Well, back to the model year, too, because we're in 2019, so you're shooting the 2019 bow.
Right, right.
2019, but yeah, we understand that. We hear it a lot.
So why don't you give us a little rundown about yourself and how you fit into the picture here? So.
Yeah, sure. Thanks. So Mark Hayes is my name again. I'm right now currently the design engineering manager. I run the team at the main plant that is basically the support group for Matt's R&D group. So Matt is still number one engineer. He's the genius behind everything that we do, and we're really the support team. So our our scope of work is really design of product, definitely, and then testing of product that Matt creates, and then you know, cooking up new ideas, and then a little bit of marketing stuff that is put in there that our marketing team has done a really good job of just getting the engineering group out there and just describing what we do on a daily basis and how our passions are really worked into the work that we do here. So that's kind of the scope of our work. Our team is relatively small, but really powerful. We're able to move very quickly. And even the past few years has really been great. One of the cool things we're doing right now is redoing our whole engineering setup. As we grow and as we get more into more things, we're getting new equipment in a new area and just going to be help us get more efficient at our job. I've been here for almost 8 years. I came here right out of college. This was a dream job for me. I wrote Matthew's letter since I was a kid, since I was like 15 years old. So always wanted to be here. Was super focused in college. Got a mechanical engineering degree, knowing this is what I wanted to do. So very focused that way. And when I got the opportunity as an intern, actually in college, I came here and did some work in the summer. Really got to know everybody, know how this works, got to do a couple cool research projects. So when I got here, when I graduated, really hit the ground running. And me and another guy kind of just built this group out from scratch. Jason Thoreau is his name. So him and I, with one of our techs, Justin Jotham, grew this group to what it is now. And it's been really cool. Really helps Matt expand what he can do. You know, he can concentrate on what he's good at, design and creativity. And we get to do everything else to support him in that. You can make his ideas come to life. And we get to input our ideas too, which is awesome. It's always the best part.
Awesome.
Cool. So my first question for you, and it's one that gets thrown at me a lot, actually. So I always kind of like to hear guys that have, especially somebody like you who has got an engineering degree and whatnot. What is perfect for you? Like when you set up your bow, what do you, how do you achieve perfect? What is a perfect shooting bow for you?
Yeah. So, as you know, there's so many variables in archery. My personal thing is to take as many variables away as I can. So that goes into your arrow setup, and the broadhead you pick and the vanes, all that matters. And I'll get into that, but on the bow side, what perfect is for me is these risers are made with a center shot right down the middle. The way I line my rest up is I actually line my string up with the back of the grip with my eye, and then I make sure my arrow is right down the middle. So that's where I start. When I'm bolting everything on, my arrow is right down the middle. I eyeball level. Probably because I've done so many, I like to just hold it up, get my level right. And that's my level. I kind of know where they tune. And with these cross-centric cams and center pull technology, it's right in the middle. So I line my arrow up vertical. I get it left and right. I lock everything down, and that's where I start. The beauty of our top hat system and our axles is you get to tune your bow exactly how your arrow and your grip make the bow shoot. So if I handed my bow to you, John, I don't think you'd shoot a bullet hole because you have a different grip, you have a different release, you have different arrows. So what the top hat system does is allow us to move the cams left or right to tune it for that particular person. I always need my cams a little straighter than some people because of the way I grip and all that stuff we talked about. So I'll just start paper tuning that way with my complete arrow, fletched arrow, and I'll get that right. And then my final test is always broadheads. You know, people do the walk back tune, the bear shaft tune. My personal opinion, and I've done them all, is the bear shaft tune is super finicky. I mean, I could get my bow perfectly bear shaft tuned. Right. I could go home, come back the next morning and shoot it again and have a left tear or a right tear. And it's like, oh, my bow's moved. No, it's not. It's if you know the difference that it takes to get a bear shaft to go left or right, it's so fine that it's, in my opinion, not even worth doing, because like I said, it could be like just tiny bit of muscle difference in your wrist that'll change a bear shaft tune. And in reality, that's not a true thing whenever you're actually shooting on an animal or something. That's not the shot you're actually taking. You're not focused that hard on your tune or on your form to get a bear shaft to fly. So to go, once I get my bow paper tuned right up close, I'll step back about 10 yards. I'll do it again and just make sure that everything's good, because there's times where an arrow will come out clean right out of the bow and it's not downrange. So I will do that 10 yard paper tune, and then I start shooting broadheads. These are the arrows I shoot right here. You'll notice I've got a large 2.8 vein, okay. Left helical. And it's a pretty aggressive left. And then I shoot expandable broadheads. Now, we can debate all that, and that's not really what my goal here is. My goal is that, for me, these broadheads fly great. And I've done so much vein testing that I can make these broadheads fly with any vein I can. But that's not my goal. And, you know, I've played around with that for so many years of, like, how little a vein can I get away with? So can I four-fletch a small vein, or can I three-fletch a heavy helical vein? And every time I do that, it'll fly fine. The problem is we're not always perfect. So you say perfect. I take care in my equipment that I know it's not perfect in the conditions that I hunt in the wind and in the clothes and the gloves and all that stuff. I want an arrow that compensates for all that. I don't want to fall on my bow and worry that my rest is like 10 thousandths out of tune and now I'm not bear shaft tuned. I want an arrow that corrects that. So that's why I run a really heavy, big vein. I know people try to get away with some smaller stuff. I used to do it too, but I like a quiet, well-steering vein with a very well-flying broadhead. I do not like to try to push the limits too much with a big fixed blade broadhead or a small vein. You know, I want the best arrow that I can. You know, so I guess to sum it up, I get my bow as good as I can. I get my arrow overkill, and then whatever happens in the season, I'm taken care of. These will fly no matter what. So that's kind of what I do.
Yeah, I've kind of been of that same school of thought for my whole life, basically. The last couple of years, I feel like I've been focusing so much on the tune of the bow that, like, the super tune, you know, like walk back, bear shaft, and you know, paper tuning, and you know, messing with the cam attitude and this and that and all, you know. And I was like, man, it's so much shit in my head, and I feel like I just need to go out and just shoot it, you know. Forget about it, get back to basics, you know.
I totally agree with that. And I think, like, especially around here, we shoot so much in the summer. Actually, we should start shooting in the winter because we shoot tournaments, right. But we shoot so much through the spring and the summer. We get to hunting season, I don't shoot personally as much. I'm hunting instead of shooting. Yeah. So my form deteriorates throughout the season. I don't want to scare people, but if you ever shoot your bow and in the end of the summer when you're shooting a ton and it's perfectly tuned, and you go and your hunt all fall and all winter, your form deteriorates because you're not in practice. You shoot that same bow, nothing's changed, in January, you might get a different tear than you did. And that's kind of what I mean, that, like, I want my arrow to take care of all the form issues that I'm going to have, because I'm not shooting as much during the season. I'm hunting instead.
Right.
And that's kind of what's cool about the top hat system too, is that once you get that set to what you do, it's not moving anywhere. There's no slopping it at all. You set your top hats and your cam lean where you need it in your rest. That thing's not moving. And that's kind of a nice, clear thing for me, too, that once I paper tune my bow, I'm not worried about anything moving. And it not only is that good for accuracy and everything, but it's good for your mental state to take that variable out. Like, my equipment is good. Whatever happens is me. And that helps on the tournament line, and it helps, obviously, in the field, too.
Of course.
I'm going to switch gears a little bit. I want to talk a little bit about technology a little bit. I got a couple questions, and then we'll talk about the new bow.
Sure.
So I feel like bow technology hasn't really it's gotten better, but it hasn't really jumped leaps and bounds like it did in the late 90s, early 2000s, where you were seeing every year like big improvements and so on and so forth. Like, I feel like the speed and efficiency were, I don't want to say we're maxed out, but I feel like we're there at that point. What's your take? Where do you see it going in the future?
Yeah, definitely. So we get this question a lot, obviously. We're not topped out. What's happening, though, is that there's a certain amount that you'll never get more efficient. Let's use that as an example. Like, there never will be a 100% efficient machine ever. It's just impossible. So there's an asymptotic curve. It's called that. It's approaching a maximum. So the maximum's here. We're here. Back in the early 90s, like you were talking about, when we're down here, we got tons of room to improve.
Right.
We're pushing 88% efficiency, which is the highest efficiencies in the industry. To get to 88, like from 87.5 to 88, is astronomical. It's huge. It's a ton of work, ton of trial and error, ton of system and analysis. So like, that's a huge win for an engineering group to gain like 87.5 to 88% efficiency. That's huge. That means that we have less energy going into the bow that we have to dampen, or that the user will feel. We got more energy into the arrow, so you're getting more speed for less effort. You know, that's a gigantic step. Back in the day when we were at like 75%, mm-hmm. You know, stepping up to 77 was quite a bit easier than, you know, the 0.5% that we gain every year. Same thing with vibration. Like vibration, when you had so much vibration in the old days and the old bows, cutting that in half was huge. You know, last year, to talk about the verdicts, we cut 20% off of the vibration from the Tri-X. Tri-X was the best feeling bow of all time, but 20% of not that much is not that much, really. Gotcha. So, you know, from our standpoint, it's huge. We bested the best bow of all time. From a user standpoint, it's going to take, you know, a couple of those steps for them to really feel it. But no, I think the future is bright. There's always new materials. There's new ideas. What's cool right now is our group is so focused and so passionate that we're getting ideas from our personal hunting experiences and our interactions with our pro staff that never really had that communication in the past. So there's things that we continue to do, and I want to just hit on our motto right now is elevating the archery experience. Every decision we make, every bow design that we do is with that goal in mind. We are going to elevate the archery experience, which is either feel or efficiency or just usability in the field. You know, some things are clumsy and hard and we need to fix that. That's dumb that things are that way. And so there's simple, cool ideas that'll just improve the whole experience. And that's exactly what we're trying to do every year. And there's tons of room for improvement. We're our worst critics. We launch a new bow and we're already thinking about how we can make it better.
So do you think it's feasible or ever possible to have like a 400 foot per second arrow with like a 500 grain arrow coming out of a bow that's 70 pounds? Is that mathematically possible?
No, it's not. So, I mean, when you pull your bow, you're storing energy.
Right.
That the shape of that curve is called a forced draw curve. There's certain shapes that people like. We know what those are. So we're balancing like that curve of what people like versus trying to store as much energy as possible. The flip side of that is I can make a draw force curve that stores more energy than, let's say, the brand new bow. It'll shoot slower because it's not as efficient. Like, not only does a human want to feel a certain kind of draw, the arrow needs to accelerate a certain kind of way. If you think about, I don't know if you're a fisherman or whatever, but when you got a big heavy bait on there and you like load your rod up and you cast that thing out, you can throw it a mile. When you got a light lure on there and you're not timed right and you just whip it, you can put more effort in it. It's not going any further. The same thing with a bow. An arrow needs to be the last thing through. So your limbs need to load, your cams need to load, your strings and cables need to load, and then it needs to push that arrow. It can't be slack. Nothing can go slack. Nothing can be ahead of another because your timing will be off and you'll have more effort but a slower projectile.
Gotcha. Cool. So it's no secret that Matt doesn't really love carbon fiber risers and all that stuff. Do you ever see that Matthew's getting into the carbon fiber riser type bows or no?
Well, I want to clarify. So Matt's a huge proponent of carbon fiber. We have a company, McPherson Guitars, makes the best wooden guitars in the world. We also have a brand new travel line, the McPherson Carbon line. Uh-huh. The best carbon fiber guitars in the world. And the reason they're better is because a wood is going to warp in humidity and heat and all that. Carbon fiber is perfect. It stays completely stable. So no, he loves carbon fiber. We do carbon fiber here at this facility for McPherson Guitars. We do carbon fiber of some of our components. We're just not a proponent of using carbon fiber for the word carbon fiber. And I think that's what a lot of companies are doing. People, they get calls for, we want a carbon riser. We want carbon because it's such a buzzword right now. Well, carbon's really good in tension, but it's not that great in compression. You know, we're not going to use a material just as a buzzword if it's not better. If it's better, absolutely. You'll see Matthews using carbon.
Got it.
Only if it's better.
Got it. So for me, well, my second killingest most bow, the bow that I've taken more animals with, or second most bow that I've taken more animals with, was the Helium. And I love that light bow. Yeah. I miss that you guys haven't had a light bow in a long time. I've gotten used to, you know, shooting the heavier bow, of course, but I feel like I still have that bow. Matter of fact, it's hanging up right over in my closet. But I can still pick up that bow today. I haven't shot it in a year, and I'll take it outside and I'll still hammer it.
Yeah.
I really love the old grips, even though these ones are, you know, technically better, and I can shoot better with them, but I feel like I gotta focus more when I'm focus more with the focus grip. Anyway, I would love to see a lightweight bow. And the only other thing about carbon fiber that I have found is sort of nice is that it's not as cold to the touch. Like you hold on to an aluminum riser, that cold is getting transferred to your hand, whether you're wearing a glove or not. So like right now I'm going to South Dakota. Those are the things, those little things I can feel. I mean, now yeah. I'm hunting in Arizona or whatever, it doesn't bother me obviously, but, yeah, I would love to see you guys come out with another lightweight bow.
Yeah. Well,
I'll speak
to that quick. So obviously the Helium was a response to light carbon bows that aluminum can be light. You know, we're not – aluminum is a great material, and we showed it with the Helium that it could be a 3.5-pound bow. What we're doing right now, though, is actually really important, I think. And you're actually seeing – and we're seeing competitors start to catch on that a stable riser and short, stable limbs is a better shooting system. And people are following that. We are very proud of the style of bow that we have right now, because one, it's winning tournaments, and two, it's super robust and stable, and that's huge in the bows. You know, we've had risers in the past that were not stiff enough or not strong enough. You know, it doesn't take much to fall on a Helium and worry about, you know, the integrity of it. Not that it wasn't strong, but having a stable, long riser is key to your shooting stability. And I want to talk about, too, that you have confidence that healing because you killed so much with it. It's like, right. That's another thing. Like, we hear switchback. Oh, switchback was the best bow, you know?
I still have a switchback, too.
And I had a switchback. I loved it. But if you gave that to me right now, draw smooth, but oh my gosh, it'd be a turd for speed.
Oh, yeah, it is.
I mean, you could shoot a Vertix at 50 pounds and be faster than a 70-pound switchback, but, you know, in your mind, you kill so much stuff with a bow like that that it's better. It's not. But, you know, our memory, we always remember the best things about that. But, no, a light bow is possible. Obviously, we've proven that, and we're choosing to make the bows at the weights they are right now, and you're seeing competitors do the same thing. And I would challenge you to put bows on the scale that you think are light. Actually weigh those bows, because there's been a lot of misinterpretation of specs, I think. Bows aren't as light as you think they are.
You know, every year I try to shoot all the competitors' bows. I've been shooting Matthew since – I've been shooting for you guys since 2001. I've been on the pro staff or been a part of whatever for our shooting staff for – since 2001, so I'm a Matthews guy. I've always been, ever since I got my first one. So
love it.
And so I was just playing devil's advocate a little bit right there, but I, you know, and I don't get me wrong, I love the Vertix. I liked the Tri-X. I didn't say I loved it. I love the Halon 32. That was a fantastic bow. And there's been a couple bows over the years that I didn't love. I wasn't a big fan of the Reason. Wasn't a big fan of the Creed. At first I was. And then as my season went along, and it's funny how you mentioned, you know, what your memory is. You know, I feel like we as humans need something to blame.
Yeah.
You have a really great season or whatever, you automatically, what's the word for it? Place the blame on your equipment and not yourself. So I didn't have the greatest season with the Creed, but I gave it to one of my friends, so one of my pro staff guys actually, and he's still shooting that freaking bow, and he shoots Giants every year. So you know, anyway, but I personally would like to have a lighter bow, one because of all the mountain hunting I do. I feel like when you have a lighter bow, you can add weight in the ways that you need it, where you need it, like in stabilizers and stuff. I'm a guy that shoots, I shoot a stabilizer like a 6-inch, you know, like I have it on there for show. It's a handle for me. I don't feel like I shoot any better with or without, you know, like a stabilizer. I've done, you know, the bars and all that shit. And for me, I don't know. I guess I'm old school and I feel like I don't need it. I may need it, and maybe just never set them up right. But
everyone's different.
So what would you like to see improvement-wise out of bows in the future? You know, strings, cables, design, riser, you know, what components do you see or would you like to see have some improvement?
Yeah, I got to tiptoe around that question a little bit. You know, we're working on stuff all the time.
Of course, of course.
And so I don't want to give away any information that we might be working on. But you're seeing, and kind of mentioned it, that elevating the archer experience means whatever we're focusing on at that point, we're going to make it better. So whatever category you name it, we are trying to make that particular thing better. We are very into new materials. We're exploring those all the time. We constantly evaluate our current stuff that we're doing. We get feedback from our pro staff and our shooting tournament team too, that you know, we made an improvement, like I said, on the target line this year with our bearings. Like we had great bearings in the thing, but it was a confidence deal with our shooters that they might have had one that felt a little gritty or something, dust got in there or something. It's like, okay, well, the bearings are great and fine, but we can make them better. We went up a step up on our ABS bearings on our TRX line this year, and we added 3 bearings on the inside of the axle just for confidence, you know. That straightens the axle, makes it more efficient, stronger unit. And again, it's just that confidence thing. So it's like we get feedback like that all the time. We're always looking at our new product and just saying, how could this be better? So if that vague answer will satisfy without getting too detailed on what we're currently working on. But I just, know that we're always evaluating what we're working on, and we are our worst critics. And we're very, very big students of our competitors, too. We have every bow of our competitors. We're seeing what they're doing. I feel like we're very honest when someone makes something cool and new, that we recognize that. We also see how we must be doing well if they're doing something that is similar to what we're doing that most people won't pick up on, but just means that we're on the right track. If people or other people are seeing that, hey, Matthews is doing something right here. And we're seeing that with some specific things on our line right now, which is interesting.
Cool. That's awesome. So let's talk about the new bow, man.
I'd love to.
Let's see it.
This is mine right here. We got two new bows this year, John. And for the first time ever, they're named the same thing. This is the VXR.
Okay.
I'm shooting the 28, and we also have a 31.5, which I have right here. This is one of our test bows.
Okay.
So those numbers are obviously the axle-to-axle length. And what I want people to know is that this year, these are the longest riser hunting bows that we've ever made. And I don't want people to get hung up on the numbers. This is the longest 28-inch bow we've ever made. Obviously, we've made 28-inch bows. How could this be the longest? I'm talking about the riser length. So this riser, similar to the Vertix, is like crazy long for a 28-inch. So this is actually 2 inches longer than the Tri-X was.
Okay.
This is going to be more stable. It's going to be stiffer, and it's actually lighter than Tri-X was.
Oh, so nice.
You're getting the stability of a longbow in a short, compact platform that I personally love. Some of the ways we did that is we actually added some new bridging in the riser there. I don't know if you can see that. But
absolutely.
We thickened this this riser, super important area in the sight and the rest area, made that stiffer, and then added extra bridging in there. And so this is actually 4.44 pounds, lighter than the Tri-X, 28 inches, but with a long riser that makes it shoot like a bow that's way longer. Even more so is the 31.5 this year.
Right.
So 31.5 isn't a long bow to a lot of people, I don't think. You know, no. People hear that number and they're not going to think long bow. This bow is gigantic. I like to do this. This is our Halon X. This was a super popular crossover bow. It's 35-inch axle to axle. I shot this in tournaments. A bunch love this bow. People hunted out west with this. 35-inch bow versus our 31.5. This riser is like 2 inches longer than this bow.
Right.
This bow is just huge. It feels so stable when you shoot it.
Uh-huh.
But still a compact 31.5. So we're really pushing that. You're seeing us doing that in our TRX line. Long riser, short limbs. That is stable, great to aim. Torsionally rigid limbs, we're putting that in our hunting bow just to the extreme. I mean, these are so parallel that they're almost backwards on the limbs because of how long this riser is. And I really want people to know that the number on here, 31.5, is going to feel like a way, way longer bow when you're actually at full draw, similar as this 28 did. You know, I shot the Tri-X good. I didn't shoot it great, but I shot the Vertix great. And now I'm shooting this as well as I shot the Vertix in a 28-inch platform, which I absolutely love.
Right.
And what's cool about this, too, is we added a new color this year. This is Ambush Green. I don't know if it shows up on that camera really well, but it's a really cool, solid color. I hunted all out west with it this year, blend in perfectly, and now I'm hunting whitetails with it. Just really love the look of the black and the new Ambush Green. So.
Oh, yeah. No, that's nice. Now you're making me rethink my order here. Because I didn't really know, you know. I only get vague stuff when Caleb was asking me questions. You know, he's like, did you like the 32, Halon 32 better, or did you like the Tri-X better? And so I'm like, yeah, I kind of like the Halon 32 better. And he's like, okay, well, I'm going to put you in this and that. And, you know, I'm like, now that I see that, I'm like, maybe I should have went with the shorter one.
I'm telling you, I shoot this awesome for a hunting bow. You could win tournaments with this 31.5. So it's all personal preference, but this is really an incredibly shooting bow. My personal hunting style, I love short bows. I always feel like I'm in a situation where I wouldn't want anything longer. And the way I shoot this, how well I shoot it, I don't need one longer. So really pleased with my whole setup this year. And it's already killed a bunch of stuff. So happy about that, too. That's like confidence thing that we talked about. So
what's the weight on the longer one, on the 31?
What's that?
What's the weight, total weight?
4.66, so about the weight of the Verdix, actually a little lighter. So you're getting 2 extra inches on the riser with a lighter setup. Same bridging that we had talked about there. A 3D damping, we had to move it out slightly on these bows to get them to feel as good. So we're always just tuning these little things to make these bows as good as possible. Also, we got new stabilizer bushings front and back. These were something we did on our target line, and it improved the stiffness of a stabilizer by 10%. And that's not a ton on, you know, a short hunting stabilizer like a 6-inch you shoot, but it's huge on a 30-inch target line. Yep. And any improvement we could do there, we want to implement in here. Again, we're going back to – we're winning so many tournaments with our TRX line, long riser, short limb platform, because it's stable and because it's a great aiming platform. That's what we're trying to do in our hunting line with extra speeds and extra good feel and quietness that you need while you're in the field. So really incredible bows. These are the best hunting bows we've ever made. I know we say that every year, but really, really proud of them. And there's a couple new accessories that I think are going to change the game a little bit on it too. And they're just simple things, but if you can see... underneath my cups here, I got this little knob here.
Yeah, yeah.
That's our SCS system. It's called we call it Silent Connect system. And we have two accessories that go along with that right now. This does not come standard on the bow, but it's tapped in the top of the cup. And you just remove, there's going to be a little sticker there, medallion. You pull that up, you screw these on, it just adds... this functionality, which right here is one of them. We got a brand new sling this year. We partnered with Mystery Ranch.
Okay.
And so they've custom made this. This is a prototype. This is the one I've been using all fall. But super simple, just a loop. And what this does is goes over your knobs.
Okay.
And it's completely silent.
Beautiful. That's nice.
Really simple. I'm not a huge sling fan myself. I use this all fall. Where I really loved it was, obviously, when I'm walking with my pack on, you're able to sling it over your pack, and it stays there nice. What I love, though, is I went on a bunch of stocks where I ditched my pack, put this bow on my back, and cinched it tight, and now I'm hands-free crawling.
Oh, nice.
When you got to cover ground, you know, it's like, it was a game changer. It was something that I used way more than I thought I would. The second... accessory that we have for this is more for our whitetail guys, and I don't have it here, but it's a similar thing where on your bow rope, when you're going up, you don't have the loud carabiners and all that stuff. You just have a loop, and now you pull it up, and it keeps the bow perfectly level, which helps it not snag on things, keeps things protected. So just really excited. Small thing. Again, it's elevating that whole experience, making the product better, easier to carry, and ready at all times. So really cool little thing there that we added this year.
So let's talk about things that everybody else always wants to hear. How fast are these bows?
So these bows are 344 IBO. They have the switch weight cams on them again. So that comes in 80% and 85% let off. From 60 to 75 pounds just with the change in the mods. So same mods as the Verdix had last year. So that's 344 at 30 inches, and then 343 for the longer one. So right in the same ballpark for both of them. But screaming fast. Again, incredibly quiet. The 31.5 and the 28 both are just crazy quiet bows. Took that to another level. And obviously, like we've been doing, it's just dead in the hand every year. So that's something that we always try to nail. And again, we did it, I think, with these.
Sweet. What's the brace height on them?
They're both 6-inch brace heights. The 31.5 will go out to 31-inch of draw, so those longer guys will be able to fit in that really nicely. The 28 goes to 30 inches.
Got it. Sweet. Well, that's all I got for you. I'm excited about the new bow, man. I can't wait to get my hands on it.
It's awesome. Maybe it's going to be one of those bows that we remember, I think, especially for me. I think you know, I've already, like I said, killed some stuff with it, and it's just like a confidence booster. To be able to shoot such a short bow so well. I think that 31.5, I might even set one of those up for tournaments. It's going to be a really good bow.
Awesome. Well, cool, man. You got anything exciting coming up hunt-wise?
Yeah, I'm actually one of my favorite hunts of the year. I'm going down to Illinois with my buddy Drew. He's got some property down there. I've been chasing whitetails up here. Just been tough. I passed a couple pretty nice bucks I could have shot, and I might – probably should have, but down there it's a different world. It's so cool. He's got tons of acres of land, and we got finally, I think what happened this year was EHD happened in 2012, so that was 7 years ago, and these bucks are finally, we finally got our first real year, because those fawns in 2012 have survived now without any EHD. So we got like 8 shooters on the farm right now, and it's going to be super cool. It's going to be a really fun year, I think. And I'm going down there Wednesday. So Wednesday through Sunday, and see if we can get it done. If not, probably back down there late season. So
awesome.
Really excited about that.
Yeah, I love Illinois, man. It's been a couple of years since I've been. Last time I was there, I was hunting with Dale Carter and Tom Miranda and those guys. I end up shooting a buck, but it wasn't the buck that I wanted. And
Pike County?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah, it was a good time. Good time.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, I appreciate you coming on and taking the time and sharing, your knowledge with us and talking about the new bow.
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity. Super excited this year.
Yeah, should be fun. We'll definitely have to get you on maybe after the season. I'd like to hear how you did over there. Maybe we'll talk a little more about hunting and less about bows.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
All right, buddy. Thanks for coming on, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, John. See ya. Okay, bye.
Hey, guys. If you're looking for something to do this December, January, or February, if your hunting is over and you're looking for an awesome adventure, come check us out. Come hunt either deer or javelina with me and the Days in the Wild crew here in Arizona. Check out the website, daysinthewild.com. Check out my blog, johnstallone.me, for specials. Or just get a hold of me through social media, and we can see if we can put something together for you. It's a fun time, lots of great experiences, over-the-counter tags for deer, archery, and some leftover tags right now for javelina. So give me a call or hit me up on social media, and we'll see if we could put something together for you.